Karma Yoga, which he said in chapter in this chapter verse 1 as well. He said, he who does his bounden duty without depending on the fruit of action. Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yaha. Whosoever does what he ought to do, renouncing the fruit of action, not depending on the fruit of action. See, renouncing the fruit of action in the sense, in his mind, he is not chasing some result. His interest is in action. Result for any action will be there. And he is risen to be level of accepting
any
result. But he puts it, his satisfaction comes not in the achievement of the result, but in the very
action.
That is what he did here. He is a sannyasi and a yogi, meaning there are people who are in grihastha ashrama, but engaging themselves in the activities in this spirit that he mentioned, they could be considered as sannyasis. Similarly, there are somebody who has taken up the sannyas lifestyle, wearing upper robe, etc., but maybe in the mind attached to the fruit, they would still be qualified as samsaris, grihastha, even though they are in wearing upper robes. So he says, such people who have renounced the fruit of action and engaging themselves in action should be called as sannyasis as well as yogis, not the one who has renounced the fire, not the one who has renounced all the rituals. See, remember, rituals are symbolic to make us kindle the fire from within, the awareness from within. Fire is life, right? When a person dies, the heat from the body leaves, right? The body becomes cold. You cook the food. In fact, they say, I was talking about it I think last week also, when human beings started cooking after invention of fire, maybe they invented fire accidentally, but after invention of fire, they started cooking and eating food. And science is kind of telling us that after they started cooking and eating, the brain development has become very fast. The intelligence has become much greater, and the inventions were all possible, the inventions and very many discoveries. So fire is life, fire is intelligence, fire is the one which is digesting the food that you put inside, and it makes sure that the food is digested and spread throughout the body. That's what keeps you going. Even if you are living in a very cold environment, you have to be active to keep your body warm to live, basically. So fire is life, and life without life means what will come to your mind is consciousness and awareness. So therefore, not one without fire means not one without awareness. Just blindly chasing the desire. So rituals are only symbolic to make us understand that we need to kindle awareness from within. Not just go on performing rituals and just kindling fire externally, as a result of which you are not kindling any awareness from within. Then you are just a ritualistic person. Today in life you find people who say, I don't believe in rituals, and they don't do any rituals. Just because they don't do any rituals and they don't believe in rituals, not necessarily that they have kindled awareness from within. Similarly, there are others who probably are doing rituals from the time they wake up till the time they go to bed, every day, 24/7, 365 days. But awareness is not kindled from within. Then they are just mechanically performing rituals. They are also not to be considered as yogis. So here when he says, you must understand what is it that these rituals are symbolically trying to explain to us. So there is a fire lit outside and something is offered into that fire, and the fire suits up and blesses the person who performs yajna. Similarly, you need to offer with awareness, and that will make the awareness increase further. So the way to increase the awareness inside is to start doing things with awareness. Like in Vedanta Pandit's book, Swamiji says, the way to gain more light, is the painful use of the existing light. Like when you're traveling on the main road, the headlight in your car can probably illumine 25 meters. But you, using that, you can't walk 300 kilometers, 500 kilometers in darkness. So similarly, to start with whatever little awareness is there, you start using that. Then your awareness will increase. This is what rituals are symbolically telling us. But people get stuck. So when a sannyasi, who has reached a certain level of awareness, he doesn't have to perform any rituals anymore, because he has achieved the purpose for which the rituals were introduced. Therefore in our shastras they say, as long as you are grihastha, you continue doing rituals. I gave you the example of Agnihotra, etc. Now once a fellow moves from from grihasthashrama to sannyasashrama, thereafter he is not expected to do those rituals anymore. Right? But people take it mechanically. No, I have still not taken up sannyas. I am still a grihastha. So I have to somehow perform rituals outside. And they are going through sleepless nights if for some days they have to miss out on performing rituals. They think they are committing a sin. That is how much they get involved in the rituals as an end in itself. So he says, not the one without fire, just because he's taken up upper rope and is dropped the performance of ritual, he cannot be considered as sannyasi, but the one with awareness should be considered as sannyasi. And not the one without action, not the one who drops action. Why is this that not the one without action should be taken as sannyasi? Because very often, what we need to understand is, people who are remaining without action are more mentally indulging the fruit compared to people who are indulging in the action. Please understand this. To the extent you are thinking about the fruit, to that extent you are not even acting. So idle mind is the devil's workshop. So a lot of people probably mechanically stopped acting, but mentally indulging in the fruit of action. So just because somebody is not doing action also, you cannot take him as sannyasi. So who is a sannyasi? Action, going along with awareness, no fruit in mind, meaning no, not attached to the fruit of action. Such a person is a sannyasi, such a person should be considered as a yogi, in between of what lifestyle he is engaged in. Maybe grihasthashrama, maybe sannyasashrama. As long as these criteria fulfill, he is a yogi, he is a sannyasi. This is what Lord Krishna said in this verse. You have something?
But the main life is 24/7.
Yeah.
It's not about prayer time. It's about faith. All the time is...
So that is why we say, it really doesn't matter what lifestyle he is in, where he is, what he is doing. He is never losing that awareness. See, one of the examples I say in the class is, a man or a woman in the world never ever loses the awareness that he is a man or a woman. You understand? Even in sleep. It's very interesting. Are you with me? Even in sleep, deep inside, you know that you are a woman. So in any circumstance, nobody needs to come and remind you that you are a woman or a man. You are constantly having that awareness. So like that, you must have that awareness that you are Atma and function. You remember I gave this example when I was doing, I think, summary of chapter 1, 2, 3 also. Non-resident self. You remember that? I think you forget. Because if you keep emphasizing in our classes, but you have to remain in the present. Everything that you can do in the past, you keep on forgetting. See, I gave you this example that few years ago, they did not allow you to buy properties in the Middle East, in Abu Dhabi, Dubai and all. But now you can buy. Right? Now you can buy. Even if you buy and even if you get children there, and the children are born and brought up there, still they won't get the citizenship of that country. They would still be growing up as Indians with Indian passport. In that passport, birthplace will be probably Dubai. What do you think? But the passport will be Indian passport, issued in Dubai. Understand? So when a person lives there, he always in his mind is aware that he is an Indian residing in Dubai. So he respects the law of the land. If he doesn't respect the law of the land, then he will not be enjoying the city. They will put him inside jail. So he respects the law of the land. He can't say, I didn't know the laws of this land. He must know. Knowing the laws, he obeys the laws and lives there, and he enjoys the facilities offered by that country. Right? Whatever may be their facilities provided, he enjoys everything. But all the time, he is aware that he is an Indian living in Dubai. Similarly, whether you are a man or a woman, whether you are a grihastha or a brahmachari or a vanaprastha or a sannyasi, whatever it might be, deep inside you must understand and be aware that I am non-resident atma, non-resident self, residing in this body of a woman, body of a man, in this family of this nature, whatever it might be. Gupta, Sharma, whatever it might be. But all the time deep inside, I am Atma. Playing the role now as a person who is talking on Bhagavad Gita. Some other time I will be doing some other role. And when you are established that, you have reached the ultimate. So this is what he is saying. So, non-resident self, non-resident Atma. That awareness. See, finally, that awareness leads to what is there in us now as probably as a small, what do you call, spark that needs to be brought into the level of a conflagration. So, through Karma Yoga, through Bhakti Yoga, through Jnana Yoga, finally what is it that we are trying to achieve? To kindle that awareness and make that awareness glow, grow, burn 24/7, 365 days. It really doesn't matter what you do, where you are. Right? It really doesn't matter whether you are in mandir or in a discotheque. But if your mind is dissolved and your awareness is there that you are Atma, you are a realized soul. Yogaratova, Bhogaratova. Sangaratova Sangavihinaha Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam Nandati Nandati Nandateva, says Bhajagovinda. Verse number 19. Whether you are in yoga or in bhoga, whether you are in seclusion or you are in group, Sangha. Sangaratova Sangavihinaha Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam. In your mind, there should be, I am NRS. Non-resident self, non-resident Atma, NRA. Then you are happy, happy, really happy. So this is what he is trying to tell Arjuna. Arjuna, you can be a sannyasi even on the battlefield. See, remember the contradictions, always I told you. Very interesting contradictions. Arjuna wanted to leave the battle, saying, I will not kill them. I will not kill Duryodhana, all those people. It is pap. Krishna is telling, Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna, don't leave the battle, kill them. Are you with me? But what we need to understand here is, in fact, we have still not gone to the chapter where he is going to talk about Ahimsa. Very often he is going to talk about Ahimsa. Who? Lord Krishna. As a great quality that you should possess. Now, a person who is talking about Ahimsa as a great quality that one should possess, one would possess when he turns spiritual, he is the one who is actually telling Arjuna, go and kill. But what we need to see here is,
see the inside, inner feelings, attitude backing each one. When Arjuna said, I will not kill Duryodhan, what do you think is his feelings underneath? The undercurrent feelings is hatred.
Hatred.
When Arjuna said, I will not kill Duryodhan. When Krishna says, kill them, the undercurrent feeling is love. Very difficult to understand this. Otherwise you will say, Arjuna is the one who is Himsavadi. Krishna is telling him to kill. So Krishna should be Himsavadi. He is the one who is telling him to eliminate the fellow. Just think about the contradiction. Interesting contradiction.
Why would you say the undercurrent is hatred?
I am not saying, concocting something. Read what happened in verse number, chapter 1. Did Arjuna not say that killing those desperados is sin? Would a person who loves somebody will call somebody a desperado?
That's stating a fact.
It's not a fact. It's
not hate or love.
If it was a fact, then actually why can't you fight? He is personally having
negative feeling.
Krishna has no feeling.
And we often say that you don't want to stoop lower, you don't want to stoop down to that person's level just because that person is not good.
Arjuna was only concerned about his sin. He was not concerned. We understand this. I should not incur sin.
It's like if I have a somebody else kills him, he will fight. He doesn't want to.
I do not want to be the person who builds the character. You know,
if you read the story, very interesting, the entire story is very interesting. Arjuna still had that feeling, I, even in the beginning of the chapter I pointed out to you, Senayoru, Bhayor Madhye, Ratham Stapaya Me Achyuta, O Achyuta, take my chariot and place it in between both the armies, I, Mera, Mera, Mera Sukh, Mera Dukh, Mera Punya, Mera Paap,
me.
I should not be seen as a person who did such a negative action. You know, Christians may accept, Christians may not accept. There's a very powerful way of looking at what Judas did to Jesus Christ. Very interesting way, very positive way. But many Christians may not accept this. But I read this somewhere. You know what it is?
He was meant to get crucified. He was meant to get crucified to be betrayed.
No.
I don't know enough. He betrayed him.
He did not betray.
Judas was the best student, disciple that Jesus Christ had. Therefore, Jesus Christ chose Judas to expose him. Because others would not do. No, I can't do. You need to be tremendous level. Would you have the strength to pray to God? Oh God, don't, if at all you have to give any, what do you call it? Negative result, let it be given to me. Let all the positives go to others. Would you have the strength genuinely to pray like that? Maybe you will say, everybody should get good things, including me. But to say that if at all there has to be certain negative things that has to happen in this world, let it all happen to me. I'm least bothered about my name. This has to be done, I will do. Let the whole world have a different opinion about me. I care a damn. Because I am not important. Are you with me? This is the way some people interpret what Judas did to Christ. But a lot of people do not want to see it that way. They may not want, they may not buy this theory. But to me it makes a lot of sense. It is not easy. You understand? Because everybody wants to be there when it comes to taking
credit.
Credit, punya. Or to be seen as somebody who is giving up the credit. Very often you find a person, very rarely you find a person who will come forward to be criticized just for what do you call, for the rest of the days to come. Yet it has to be done. Therefore he did it. You understand? So it is so difficult if you have been
doing such actions. So from the superficial level, when we look at things, many of us would have done what Arjuna did. Or blindly closing eyes, we would go about killing people, like Duryodhana. If you see people like Duryodhana, they are power mongers. Right? The desire for power closes the vision, closes the eyes. You become as it were, numb. And you go about killing people. You don't see it. You understand? You say, well, if you have to make it big, these things are all to be done. It is all accepted. It's normal. Everybody does it. You kind of rationalize it. And once you rationalize, that thing will close your eyes and then you go about rampaging, killing people.
Ruthlessly.
Or you will run away like Arjuna did. But what Krishna is saying is in between these two. Keeping your eyes wide open, kill. That's a totally different thing. It's very different altogether. To understand it is, you need to little bit think about it, what they say. See the contradiction. It is said in the stories of Mahabharata that gopis were taking bath and their clothes were outside and he took away the clothes and he was standing on the tree and telling them, when they were asking, please give us the clothes, unless you come in front of me naked, I am not giving you. Right? It's the same Krishna. Draupadi calls when her sari is disrobed. Please understand. And he also comes and restores her honor. And Draupadi is the woman who is portrayed in the Mahabharata marrying five men. Very, very interesting contradictions. We need to think. The problem is very often we are looking for answers. And when we look for answers, there is a big trouble. What is it? Once we get answer, what happens, you think? You stop your thinking.
We shall get stuck in that, those words, that answer.
That is why Vedanta's questions are relevant, answers are not relevant. Because some answer comes. Who am I? You are God. Achcha, I am God. Thank you. You are not experiencing anything from that statement. You go about repeating, you probably become a great guru also. With so many disciples. You understand? But it is of no use to you. You become like that donkey which transports clothes, the dirty clothes and washed clothes, but it ever remains naked. So the point we need to understand here is a very, very interesting contradiction. That's what I'm saying. Arjun said, I do not want to kill him. But inside you see full of ego. I. When Krishna said, kill him, there is no ego. Like a small child. These are very interesting points that we need to see and learn. Think when we study the Mahabharata and Gita. Why am I mentioning this? We often go by the circumstances. That was the question also, right? When Ami asked the question, she said, so it doesn't matter what you do, yes, what situation you are in, it really doesn't matter. How does it matter?
It's a feeling.
Exactly. We think there is a certain environment that is spiritual. There are certain ways of behaving that is spiritual. There are certain things only that is spiritual. Who said that? How did you come to such conclusions? You understand? Who is spiritual? One who never loses his awareness. You know, in Zen Buddhism, they have what is called as drunken monk. You've seen many movies also coming in that name, right? Title, Drunken Monk. What do you understand from this drunken monk?
He's at his own level. Drunk the rest of the world, but he's
a man.
I mean, he's a kid.
He's a man of being a monk.
I don't. His awareness for the world, he doesn't follow
any scriptures. They say scriptures bang on God. Right? First of all, a lot of people mechanically go about saying scriptures are banning alcohol, so I don't have it. Or you find somebody having alcohol, then he cannot be spiritual. And what is the reason for which the scriptures are, if at all saying, wherever it is said, if at all it is said, why it is said that you should not to do, you should not have anything to do with alcohol?
Clouding your will.
I think basically it says that you should not be drunk on anything.
Who, in spite of
having alcohol,
his awareness is not lost.
But
these are not very easy to talk about, not so easy to live by. So, you understand? So, therefore, don't copy, even if there is a monk who apparently, in spite of having so many glasses of alcohol, is still able to be aware. For us, even when we are awake, we are not aware.
But they say when you're drunk, you speak the most too.
Because your conscious thing
is not
away. You let go.
It's
basically what happens
is
so what you let go of being
conscious, whatever things that you consciously act, put on, is removed. So what is inside comes up?
Pretense is gone.
So in this
conviction is so strong that he does no pretense. Whether he's drunk or not drunk, he is what he is. He's the same.
Yeah.
Whether
he's
drunk or not drunk.
That is why a lot of people, when they argue that there should be total ban on alcoholism in the country, in the city, that these things should be shut down. This is what is creating all this problem of rape and all that. You know, they take a statistics and some people argue, they say that all out of 100 people who were involved in drinking, 99 or 90 were drunk. So they say, therefore alcohol is creating this problem. Psychologists will come and tell you, it is not the alcohol. Inside, whatever they have suppressed, that alcohol temporarily removes. Then they go about doing things. That is wrong. So you need to, just because you stop the availability of alcohol doesn't mean they are changed. So you need to bring about system, things in place, education, etc., etc., culture, etc., etc., to make sure that the inside is cleansed. Are you with me? So if you really analyze, it really doesn't matter what clothes you wear, what lifestyle you follow, but what ultimately matters is whether phal ka ichha hai or nahi.
But what you wear, what you eat, what you drink is a reflection of your within, right?
What do you mean by that?
Your outer appearance is pretty much what your personality is.
Not necessarily. Shakespeare says one may smile and envy a villain. I'm going to go for this movie. All that glitters is not gold. Why do they say that? You can't always go by external
actions.
In fact, very often we make these mistakes. First impression is the best impression. What basis? In fact, all the fellows come and overcommit during the interviews. You understand?
This comes even, even in Ramayana, when Ravan goes to Marichi, because he wants him to be the deer and all that, so he goes and he pranams him. So the first thought in Marichi's head is that he's a conniving man, and if he is doing pranam, then there is something to be careful about. It is not an external appearance, he's basically a conniving man. So
be careful of a person you know who is conniving and is trying to be humble, that there is something wrong somewhere.
See, what we need to understand here is, just think about it, how our mind behaves. Very often, we, like you gave the example, of prostration. So just think about what is happening in many of us when we are doing prostration. Just take this example. How do you walk on the road when there's a lot of crowd or a lot of people, especially people whom you know, right? How do you walk when nobody around? Have you ever watched yourself?
I think it's the same.
Just you watch, you tell me. You find out. Very interesting. Suddenly, you understand?
Carefully when you are alone.
They want carefree, yeah.
When you are with people, you are not that carefree, you are with the people.
Yeah, there are sensitive people around you, so you are conscious about them, so you talk to them.
There may be a conversation about what you are trying to project.
But that I don't know.
What is happening? Why is that opinion about others matter to you?
Ego.
I. The I inside, you understand? When nobody is with you, right? The way you behave, see sometimes what happens, you may be agitated, right? And when the inside is agitated, it turns your entire body, entire personality, you probably start talking alone also. I don't want to be like that. And you suddenly become a little aware, then you look, Abba, nobody saw me. You understand? Quickly, fortunately nobody saw me. What is happening here? You basically think about it. What is happening here? Inside the ego, the I. You understand? Basically, if you see all our efforts, that's what Krishna is actually talking in the rest of the verses also. He is talking about this I. Basically, the I needs to be surrendered. But many of us, when we are even doing prostration, right? When so many people are there, your bhakti becomes different. Your prostration probably you don't get up only. You fall down at somebody's feet and you don't get up only. The master is saying, please get up. No, please, no. But if nobody is there, you will probably think twice to even fall down. Think about it. I'm not concluding everybody is like this. Please don't mistake me. I'm not saying everybody is like this. But you must. Do you stand apart and watch yourself? When you stand apart and watch yourself, I'm not saying stand apart and watch others.
Yeah.
That means we don't have to, we are automatically doing it. Constantly watching others. I'm saying if you stand apart and watch yourself, body is doing something, mind is feeling something. There is a distinct dual personality going on. Right? There is no integrated personality here. Firstly, you need to integrate your personality. And that integrated personality needs to be totally dissolved in that Paramatma. And then the Atma from within will surface. So firstly we need to, from this disintegrated personality, become an integrated personality. And from the integrated personality, you need to go to the level of surrender. That is why in the 18th chapter, 66th verse, Lord Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Paritya, Mamekam Sharanam Praja, Ham Tva Sarva Papebhyaha Moksha Shyami Maashuchara. Finally, it is surrender. Right? So just think about it. Very interesting what me asked, you know. It really doesn't matter. But therefore we say in Vedanta, it does not matter what you do, but how you do it. Even while you are walking with your eyes open, you are doing such activities without awareness.
Yeah.
You remember that verse 69 chapter 2? Which we spent quite a lot of time, where Lord Krishna said that which is night for us is day for him.
For the yogi.
in which we are, the entire universe is asleep, he is awake. You remember that verse?
Yeah.
Apparent contradictory verse. Right? What is he trying to say? Even in sleep, Mahani was awake.
Awareness is alive.
You understand? Even in sleep, Mahani was awake. Awake. We, even in our wakefulness, we are asleep. We are all functioning like a person who is in, functioning in somnambulism. Sleep also. Why we are doing this? Including in that verse. Why we are doing this? Think about it. Very interesting. Very often, after a while, things start becoming... Very often, people argue that there is some sad songs does something to you. Whether it is Hindi movie songs or sad songs seems to touch your soul. It's very interesting. I used to think about it. It's not completely meaningless what they're saying. There is some meaning in it. Why? Very interesting. During difficulties, during challenge, you have to become little alert, little aware. When things are going fine, not necessary. You know, I used to drive from Abu Dhabi to Dubai to come for my classes when I was teaching there. About 160 kilometers. It's a beautiful road. Even at night it's totally lit. And there is no buffalo, nothing crossing in between. Nothing crossing in between. It's a four-lane road on either side. And it's beautiful. You know, you can drive in 120 and it's amazing. The best of cars for you, you drive. Now, if you are not aware, you sleep, many accidents happen because they doze off. You understand? Here in our roads,
we have to be aware.
Something on the other keeps on coming in between, keeps you awake. So please understand, that is why Swami Vivekananda says, awake, arise and stop not till the goal is reached. So the idea is to be awake. The idea is to be awake. So he says, Mahatmas are awake even in sleep. We are sleeping even in
awake.
Wakeful state. So called waking state.
Now they have that cruise control. 100%.
You're gone. You're nothing to do with the child. So, you know, if you carefully understand this, very often during success,
You
are not really aware. Like Kabir says, Dukhme Simran Sab Kare, Sukhme Kare Nabo. It is very difficult to be aware during
a good time.
Success. When things are going fine, how awake and aware and grounded you are. Are you with me?
So good critic is always the best friend for a successful
person. I would say whether he is a good critic or a bad critic, critic is good for you because he is helping you to see what you yourself find it difficult to see. Like that poem says, Turkey in the ant, finally he concludes every remark under sin, with that more conscience and look within. Control thy more voracious will, not for a breakfast nation skills. Others mistake, you see it
so
well. Many are very often in many mistakes, you project your mind on them. But your mistake, even if it is of the size of a mountain, it is so difficult to see. So if somebody points out your mistakes to you, you look at it, and if what they said was true, say thank you and correct it. If what they said is not true, then laugh it off. The example I give is, they are mirrors. Either they are proper true mirrors or they are concave and convex mirrors. When you go in front of this concave convex mirror, what they call as laughing mirrors, your image is reflected in a funny way. So what do? There? Do you go bashing the mirror? Why are you reflecting me like this? Not properly. You don't do that. You laugh. You laugh it up. Similarly, what somebody says is true, be thankful to them, change it. So what somebody says is not true, laugh it off. So, better that there are people who will criticize. And another thing what we need to understand is,
statues are never built for people who were never criticized. Please understand. Any leader will be having somebody who will not like him or her. You understand? There will be people who will be praising, there will be people who will be criticizing. If you are bothered about criticism, you can never continue. Krishna did not bother about criticism, nor did Draupadi bother. You understand? But people like Arjuna, rajasic tendencies, all the time concerned about others' opinion. Ask yourself, do you wear the clothes being unconcerned about others' opinion? Even wearing clothes, your hairstyle. Somebody has to come and tell you what is good looking. Before 1996 or whatever, Indian women were not at all beautiful. Suddenly they started becoming Miss Universe, Miss World. Suddenly, who determines what is beauty? Understand? It's incredible. If you think about it, end of the day, you are constantly driven by the opinions of others. You lack your self-esteem. You do not have your self-worth or self-assessment. So Arjun, when he ran away, come back to the point. Arjun, when he ran away, saying that I will not kill. The undercurrent was hatred and undercurrent was...
blame.
When Krishna said, kill them, the undercurrent is love. The undercurrent is...
Would this be like the same example as a mother with a child, where the mother will say no to a child for something, or not give the child something, or do something, which even a punishment kind of a thing, because the intention is not hatred, it's for the child's benefit, or what is the right thing for the child to do.
Nothing. See,
it's out of compassion or love.
Arjuna is interested in the phal. His mind is in the phal. Paap. Punya. Paap, punya. He said, even if we win the kingdom after killing them, our enjoyments will be tainted with blood. You remember that argument Arjuna gave. So where is Arjuna's mind? Result. When Arjuna said, I will not kill, his mind is in the result. In fact, very often, that's what I told you, when our mind is in the result, we don't act. In fact, people put it the other way around. Idle mind, who sits down doing nothing, fully thinking about, if I get one crore, then I will buy that property, and then all the time thinking about. Compared to them, probably those who are engaged in activities involving less in criticism, gossiping, indulging in fruits, nothing maybe, compared to them. Are you with me? So Arjun wanted to run away, but his mind was in the fruit. When Krishna said, right, what is the guarantee that Arjuna will not die in the battle? It is not because there is a guarantee that Arjuna will definitely win. We know the story ended finally that Pandavas won. But when Arjuna was involved in fighting, when Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight, temporarily you forget that you have been brought up with an idea that Krishna is God, he knows everything. You understand? Just take as two individuals who doesn't know what is going to happen in the future, like you and me. But Krishna is telling, fight. Because the result can be that Duryodhana might win, which means Arjuna could have been killed. So Krishna is not thinking about the result. For him, action itself is dead. But all the time, another sick fellow will be thinking about the fruit. Very, very interesting. So that is why Krishna says, anashrita karma phalam kayam karma parogiyah saha sanyasi saha yogi na niragdirna chatriya. In fact, one of my co-sadhaks in the ashram, his name was Andrew Oliver. Unfortunately, he is no more. He is almost my age, he is 1 year older to me. He died in cancer recently, about 1 or 2 years ago. Inside his room, behind the door, one day I had gone to his room and behind the door, he had written this down.
karyam karma karoti nyaha. Every time I read this verse in the middle of Sankara, karyam karma karoti nyaha, saha sanyasi saha yogi. Those are most really out there. Behind, before, there should be no ego, no prefix, no suffix. What you do, there should be no prefix, no suffix. The sickness is wanting to be known, making our presence known. Why are we doing any action? Our ego gets fulfilled only when we achieve the result. Are you with me? He says, karyam karma karotiya. Results will come, results will not come. You move. Next action, next action. You are not waiting for the results to come. Action, kar diya. Abhi is a due day. Whatever we did yesterday, it's gone. Today is a new day. Living moment to moment. Now what is to be done? Now what is to be done? Keep on moving. There are two slogans which is very interesting and inspiring to me. One is that Nike slogan, just do it. The other is, forget about the product, but a very interesting slogan, keep walking. The product is Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker, keep walking. Keep walking, keep moving. You have to be like a river. Right? Krishna was like that. When he left Vrindavan, Mathura, he did not look back. Keep moving. Life is there in water that flows. Stagnant water dies, perishes. But keep moving. But we will be stuck. When I was 12 years old, you know, she said this. Oh, I thought you were already, you are 55 now, but you are still 12. What is basically telling us is, you are still 12, you have not become 55 yet. You know? So, keep moving. Anashrita karma phalam, karyam karma karotiya. In our mind, we should write this. Karyam karma karoti naha. That's all. Whoever does what ought to be done. So, only sensible question, two questions are sensible questions. Absolute level, it is who am I? From a relative level, only one question is sensible. That is, what am I supposed to do now? Even put the same question in a different way. Frame it differently. What is to be done now? Why I also should be? What is to be done now? 11 to 12:15, I have to speak Amita. Then what am I supposed to do? When it is 12:15, what has to be done? Do that. What tires you is not the nature of what you do or the quantum of what you do. What tires you is the attitude with which you do the work. This is what we need to understand. Mm-hmm. We think the nature of job, my job is like that. Or the quantum of what that I'm doing, nobody does. Somebody puts the job on me. You understand? That I'm doing so much. It's not the nature of job, it's not the quantum of job. Quantum of work. It is your attitude. There is prefix. I want to be known. I want to be seen. Through this work, I should be known. In fact, when you are there, work will not be. Where work is, you will not be. That is why we say there is no amount, sale price for this particular painting. When you say that there is no sale price for that particular painting, while the other one is probably priced at 1 crore, which means there is nobody can determine how much it is worth. What does it mean? It means he wasn't there. It was God's work. It's an inspired work. What do you mean?
When a soldier is fighting on the battlefield, 5 days, 10 days, probably he's not eating anything. He's just surviving with a small bottle of water ready. But what is keeping him going? He has lost his ego in a broader goal of the country. You understand? What he is not there anymore. He is functioning with such inspiration. It is divinity functioning to him. If a person can totally dissolve his ego, not just at the altar of his country, but even at a broader level, identify with self and functioning at a much deeper level, he must be having tremendous energy.
Then they say something takes over, but that's only if you
surrender. He's functioning like I think he's possessed by something.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that? Possessed by what?
But only if he surrenders, then he can be possessed.
See, in children, why don't you sit down for, can't this fellow come down and sit for a minute? Just running around, because ego is not there. You understand? When you grow, basically what has happened is your ego is become so big now. So, when you were a small child, you did not have the ego. You also had that same amount of energy. Even now you have, but it is the ego that is making you mentally feel so much time. You understand? Whereas, that is why Mahatmas are always called as childlike, balavat. Childlike, not childish. Childlike. Meaning consciously they dissolve the ego. In children, the ego is not yet manifest. In masters, the ego is consciously dissolved. They are childlike. Again, they flow with tremendous energy. Unbelievable work you see people doing. You know, Swami Chinnananda, for example, or Swami Vivekananda, even our Swamiji is 88 years old. You understand? Wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, go to bed at 9:30, 10. And when I went to this Chitwari in Chinnamishan, Chitwari, where Swami Chinnananda's Asti is also there, there is a room in which Swami Chinnananda used to live. So when I was visiting there, the local Swami over there told us that this is where Swami Chinnananda lived for some time. And he used to go to bed at 12 o'clock, get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Not because he was not able to sleep. Please understand. Tremendous energy. The more you dilute your ego, your energy naturally flows. In fact, it is a wrong idea to believe that if I do not have a desire, I will not act. In fact, because you have desire, because you have ego supporting the desire, you are not actually acting to your full potential. You remove the desire, you will be acting tremendously. Krishna has no personal interest. It did not really matter to him. You understand? The problem that was going on between the Pandavas and Kauravas. He was sitting down quietly. These fellows went and asked for his support. Are you with me? And there also he said, I am not going to choose. I leave it to you guys. Look at this whole story. Arjuna is going. Duryodhana is going. Both of them are going together asking for the support of Krishnaji. Krishna did not come on his own and gave his support to this fellow. Both of them go. And to them also he says, you choose. Are you with me? Where is he coming in between? I is not there at all. And tremendous energy. He had no, but at least Yudhishthira is going to be crowned. So they say, and Arjuna is going to get something. Huh? Krishna was not going to get anything. Karyam karma karotiya. One of the most fabulous sentences which we need to keep in our mind all the time. When any part of the body is sick, it makes its presence known. Right? Suddenly your stomach is making its presence known, that there is something wrong with the stomach. Similarly, to the extent you do things wanting to be known. Now, when I say wanting to be known, wanting to be not known is also another kind of sickness. You take so much pain in making sure that you are not known. In other words, Swamiji keeps on saying, if you write a letter, count how many eyes are there in it. And if you buy any book in the market or if you go and browse any book in the bookshop, if there, count the number of eyes. If there are too many eyes, the book is not worth reading. I understand. But if you take so much pain in somehow trying to avoid eye, then also your focus is on what?
Eye.
Just being natural. Are you with me? That is what he is saying here. Kalyam karma karutiya. Move to the next. Saha sanyasi, saha yogi. Being choiceless. What do you understand from this? Being choiceless. Don't confuse with words here. No, being choiceless. Being choiceless should not be understood as functioning on likes and dislikes. You should not choose on what is right. I am not saying that. What does being choiceless mean?
Follow your inherent nature.
Jo karma karega, jo result aayega, usme I am not focused. Accept with total acceptance. See, with total acceptance, if you live in grahastha ashrama, also you are a sannyasi. That's all he's saying. With total acceptance, if you happen to be a sannyasi, that's fine. You're still a sannyasi. Even if you are a grahastha, you're still a sannyasi. Total acceptance. Right? Kuchela, accept it. The problem is many of us, we don't accept. There is so much of resistance. Ye chahiye chahiye, this one I want. This is what he is saying here. Karyam karma karutiya. Saha sanyasi saha yogi. Na nirna chakriya. Not the one without fire and without action. Verse number 2.
यम संन्यासमिति प्राहुः योगं संविद्धि पांडव योगं संविद्धि पांडव नस्य संन्यस्त संकल्पः योगी भवति कश्चन यम संन्यासमिति प्राहुः योगं संविद्धि पांडव नस्य संन्यस्त संकल्पः योगी भवति कश्चन
ओ पांडव ओ अर्जुन No yoga to be that which they call as sannyasa. Yam sannyasa miti prahuhu tam vidhi panna. Yogam tam vidhi panna. Yam sannyasa miti prahuhu. That which is said as sannyasa. Know that to be yoga as well. Yoga and sannyasa is saying. None indeed becomes a yogi. Why? He is saying none indeed becomes a yogi without renouncing sankalpa.
Nasya sanyasta sankalpaha yogi bhavati kashcha.
Nobody ever becomes a yogi without renouncing sankalpa. What is sankalpa?
Isn't it desire?
Wish. Sankalpa is willpower.
Determination.
Will. Sankalpa is will.
That's what I told you between those, na? From the disintegrated personality, come to integrated personality. अंदर इंटीग्रेटेड पर्सनालिटी के अंदर भी आई है वो आई को सरेंडर करो परमात्मा में
फिर संकल्प करो कि आई को डिसॉल्व
हां पक्की हो द आई हैज फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल हैज The eye is there, but we have not really separated it. The eye has to be separated and then it has to be separated. I'll explain that. Yes, that will explain that. Sarva Sankalpa Sanyasi. He is saying basically here, you need to renounce the Sankalpa. Nobody ever becomes a yogi without renouncing Sankalpa. Now the problem is, he is saying this verse to a person like Arjuna who has tremendous willpower. Without willpower, he would not have become a great archer. That is why if Arjuna takes a decision, I am not fighting, he can remain without fighting. We do not have any willpower. Morning we say, night I am not eating. You understand? Night you eat 10 times more than what you are usually eating. You understand? So this verse is not for such people.
So focus.
First, listen to me carefully. Tamas to?
Rajas.
Then Rajas to? Sattva. Then from Sattva to? Transattva. From Sattva to Transattva. Go beyond Sattva. Because Sattva and Rajas Tamas both are, all are Gunas only. You got to go beyond Gunas. You understand? But first from Tamas to Rajas Tamas. Lord, this is a big problem in this country. People have misunderstood these verses. Acha Krishna has sankalpa kacha karo. So icha. When Buddha, when Mahavir remained without wealth, what does it mean? It means in his mind there was no icha to fulfill through that wealth. Are you with me? Lot of people, I'm not saying everybody, watch my words carefully, lot of people who follow Mahavira might give up wealth, right? But inside is so much of ichcha. Does it make any sense? Is there any meaning in that? Are you with me? Mahavir renounced wealth. Because what are you searching for wealth? Why wealth is needed for you?
Yes.
To fulfill your ichcha. Mahavir ka andar ichcha nahi tha. Therefore there was no need for his wealth. Look at the same thing in a different way. Mahavir realized that he is Atma, and Atma ko? No death. Atma has no death. Therefore he doesn't require any security. Therefore he removed all the securities around him. You remove all the securities inside, you still consider yourself to be the body. Therefore what has happened? Mahavir slept very well. You are not able to sleep. Who will kill you, you do not know. But outside Kelly, you set off all the securities. This is nonsense going on in the society. When he says none can become a yogi without renouncing sankalpa, first sankalpa hona chahiye, renounce karne ke liye. Mere saath jo hai, that is what I can give you. Mere paas nahi hai, how can I give it to you? When he says sankalpa ko tyag karo, first what do you have to do then?
You have to sankalpa.
First willpower hona chahiye. Remember this, desire, when it lacks willpower, it becomes impotent. You don't achieve anything. Inside desire hai, but willpower nahi hai, shakti nahi hai, usko nahi deta hai shakti. Sankalpa shakti nahi hai. You understand? When sankalpa shakti is not backing the icha shakti, then the icha shakti will not become siddhi. Siddhi means result, attainment of result. It will not fructify. Lot of us are having so many desires inside, but sankalpa shakti nahi hai. What is the difference between somebody who made it and somebody is not making it? When you see that movie, Bhaag Dil Ka Bhaag, they show there. You understand? Pehla first he did not have the same amount of sankalpa shakti. He went to Australia and he involved here and there, and then he lost. He didn't even qualify. Right? Then he developed that sankalpa shakti. With that sankalpa shakti he went about achieving things. So when ichcha shakti
couples with sankalpa shakti, then it attains siddhi. For success, you need icha shakti going along with sankalpa shakti.
Tremendous willpower. You understand? People who, even I was talking about Sunday Pattern now, the same thing you look at in a different angle. For them to be in that level for so many years, they have to sacrifice many things, requires tremendous sankalpa. You
understand? They are not eating this, they are not eating that, they are running these many kilometers. You understand?
This, what's his name, all these sports people, there is tremendous willpower. Whether you take Nadal or Federer or any of these guys, kind of sacrifice, the kind of willpower, that is why they are remaining in that level. In spite of his age, Federer is still there and top 10 because of his sankalpa shakti. Are you with me? Now, for a person like Federer, Arjuna is like that. Please understand. His willpower is tremendous. Otherwise, he was for no reason, he was called as number one in the art of archery. Without willpower, you think you can achieve that? Arjuna is a guy with tremendous willpower. So Krishna is addressing Arjuna, don't forget. Now, you are not even able to do small things. Where is the willpower in you? For the willpower, unable. Success, okay, you try, then you will go to excellence. You understand? For success, willpower has to couple with desire. Then, that willpower needs to be surrendered in Paramatma. Then you attain inner excellence. That inner excellence is mukti. Then the energy will flow through you naturally. Then you will function like Krishna. Then the song of the Lord will be sung through you. That is excellence. Now the problem is, we have not even come to the level of success. Bhagavad Gita is not for us if you do not even have that little willpower. First, the willpower has to be built. I am saying this, that is why Swami Vivekananda got fed up and he said, go play football. Famous statement of Swami Vivekananda is, go and play football. So now, everybody is doing ritual, puja thing. You start one havan, you see thousands of people will immediately come. How all the lectures you see in the TV, they are showing now, millions of people sitting. I don't know from where they come. You always some lecture. There are millions of people coming to listen. Why in our country is like this? Why should there be only a handful of people who are dynamic? Right? If Bhagavad Gita was given in this land, is it the fault of the Gita? It is a misunderstanding of the Gita. Remember that story we talked about, right? The teacher trying to keep ill effects of drinking alcohol. And the students have said that every time we have worms in our stomach, we should drink alcohol. So the experiment that the teacher was showing, the teacher was saying, bring a glass of alcohol, glass of water and few worms. The worms were put in water, they were swimming. Worms put in alcohol, they perished. And she asked, children, do you all understand what I am trying to communicate? They all said yes. So she asked one person, stand up and say, what do you understand? She said, we understand that when there is worms in our stomach, we should drink alcohol. So when Lord Krishna is saying, sankalpa has to be renounced to become a yogi, he is talking to a person like Arjuna, don't forget that. Don't forget that. Do we have that willpower? Even in small issues.
He must be having. We are coming to your class, it's so long.
Not regularly.
I don't know what is going on at the home front.
anyway, I'm just saying it as in a light-hearted way.
You see, it seems like this, when the real thing is in fun, then this is very inspiring. You know, so many small, small things they get caught up in. So they all become trivial in a minute. And you feel that, okay, right now you feel reaction, go through everything. But the but has to also be removed.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that today, this moment, the field we are seeing,
in the Bhagavad story, when all these guys were taught to shoot, when everybody was asked, what do you see? Everybody said something or the other. He said, he didn't even say, I see the bird there. He said, I see the eyes. Just say the eyes, that's all, nothing else. That is the level of concentration and willpower Arjuna has. It is impossible to achieve success in this universe without that kind of concentration and willpower. You understand? All these people, whichever field it might be, whether it is sports or business or whatever, they did not achieve it without such tremendous sankalpa. But they are just a step away from excellence. But unfortunately, they remain there. They get stuck there. In fact, this should be spoken only to such people. Not to the lazy fellows. They are waiting to hear something to stop doing everything. As it is, they are not doing anything. And then you go and give one lecture, Bhagavad Gita. And automatically, thank you very much. You understand? That is not what he is saying.
That is not from the youngest, okay?
This is not the idea. And just blame Vedas and Vedanta for it. Vedas and Vedanta is not saying that.
That's the level of intelligence. So
unfortunately, that's what I'm saying. I'm pointing out here purposely because sankalpa tyag karo kisko bol rahe ho? Wo bahut zaruri hai.
The real awareness is given to all when they would realize, right, that this was not like a aam ho gaya.
But anyone has to want
more for the Guru, though.
So first with us. Sankalpa combining with the desire, you will achieve something, the ego will become big. In fact, one of the examples we give in our classes is, when the kaccha phal becomes ripened, you understand, then it automatically detaches.
Automatically detaches.
You understand? You have to automatically detach. So you, a fellow whose ego is not there, Guru will poke him. Then you have to say like that. Then the Guru will say, you are not a human being, why are you roaring like a lion? You know? Oh, I was keeping quiet, you were instigating me, instigating to see whether there is something left in you. And when that is left, then that can be transformed. Kuch bhi nahi, kya? Kisko transform karna? A fellow is sleeping. He is not even aware. Where is the question of transforming that fellow? You understand? Very often that is why we say many people who are the so-called moralists, very difficult to wake them up. But the many people who are immoral, not everybody, many people who are so-called immoral people, probably there is a chance of waking them up. When I say this, they are being immoral conscious. The ego is very tremendous. You understand? You can find this out. Many atheists, they can take up to Vedanta.
Yeah.
Many believers of God, difficult for them to take to Vedanta.
Yeah, this is what everyone can.
You understand? Because they're thinking all the time. They're questioning, they're not biased. Whereas this fellow has already bought something. That's why he said looking for answers. Somebody gave answer, he is very happy. Bhagwan Krishna is not going to come and talk to you and me. First, become attain the state of Arjun. Arjun, if he received this knowledge from Krishna, he must have deserved it, na? How did he deserve it? He brought himself to that willpower.
So when you try to summarize this verse, what you're saying is that
you attain
the willpower of a person who has attained it and then
renounce
the willpower.
That I have to be given up in the total. Then I understand it's not just me who's doing everything. If first my involvement, my efforts go in, then I understand it is not just my effort, there are many more things. Then I surrender my I. But I itself is not there. Then there is a question of surrender. That kind of surrender is useless surrender, what people are talking about. It is surrendering helplessness.
What do you think? This is not like this. This is with total awareness. The difference. That is why if you try to really find a truly spiritual person, very rarely you will find one. And you will miss them. Or her. Because you will find so many people who are tamasically surrendering, are egoistically running after success. Very rarely you find sattvic surrendered person. And even if it is there, you wouldn't know.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnima Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. मनसेन्द्रियैवा बुद्ध्यात्मनावा बुद्ध्यात्मनावा प्रकृतेष्वभावात् प्रकृतेष्वभावात् करोमि यद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.